This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is finding a buyer's market in a seller's market. But before we get started here, I just want to touch base with you, as I always do. You're moving forward with your real estate investing efforts. And gosh, if there's ever anything I can do, let me know. I'd be glad to help you out. I am trying to answer questions and emails as they come in from you guys. And I always would encourage you to, you know, to try to get those to me. And I'll try to get back to you as soon as I can. Also, just a quick update on a couple of things here. We are continuing, of course, our quest for apartments. We, as I mentioned before, we don't want to compromise our criteria. And so we are going to look for things that fit into our criteria as best as possible. And we're not just going to buy, but we are possibly looking at one exception, and that is in the number of units. We may be looking at less than 100 units for a number of reasons. One, that market at 100 plus is extremely competitive, and it's been real tough to get our offers accepted. And so we are entertaining the idea of looking at, you know, maybe from 60 to 100, somewhere in that range. So if there are those of you out there that course have any connection to possible apartments for sale, just let us know. We'd love to take a look at anything you might send our way. And of course, we have a handsome finder's fee for those that do refer properties to us. Also, I just want to remind you guys, we have a contest. I kind of announced it last week, but basically what we're trying to do is get as many of you folks as possible to go to iTunes and rate and review our program. We're trying to do this because we really, really want to reach out to a broad audience to let them know what we're doing and to be a resource for any guy that or gal that would be 50 plus that is looking at real estate investing as a possible means to actually, you know, build their retirement funds or to expand their retirement as well. So we would love if you guys would do that. Now, the contest is, basically we're trying to get you to do rate and review. And as you do, we will read those ratings and reviews on the air. But then we're going to have a great prize. We're going to pick from everybody that did a rating and review, and we're going to give a prize. But we're not going to announce that prize until next Friday, okay? So anyway, just thought I'd let you guys know that. A little bait there for you guys. But we really would love it because it really does help the podcast. And we don't ask anything for the podcast. We're not selling anything. But we really value your ratings and reviews. So anyway, on to our topic, finding a buyer's market in a seller's market. That sounds kind of strange, I know, but you know, it's interesting. You can always find great property deals in a buyer's market. But what happens when you're in a seller's market? And as you know, last week, I talked about a seller's market pretty extensively. In this podcast, I'm going to share how you can find a buyer's market in today's seller's market. Get a little bit into some details here. We are definitely in a seller's market, but as I've told you in the past, but we really don't have a national market. So how can I say we have a seller's market when there really isn't a national market? Well, I say that because really we're comprised of many regional markets. And I think what happens is the people that monitor that kind of thing, they look for trends that are occurring in many different markets. And if they see that there is a trend, for example, much more of a seller's market or a lot more seller's markets than buyer's markets, they will say we are nationally in a seller's market. But if you really look at your various markets, and we're talking, you know, MSAs or even smaller regional, secondary, tertiary markets. If you really monitor the markets, you'll see that there are many different characteristics in various different markets. If that is the case, then in this current seller's market, where are those buyer's markets? And I'm going to let you know that firsthand, right off the bat, I'm going to show you 10 markets, okay, that are considered sellers markets in this podcast. So keep listening and I will present those to you. But first, let's take a look at what a buyer's market is. We did talk quite a bit last week about what a seller's market is. Here is a buyer's market. A buyer's market occurs when the housing market favors property buyers. Okay, so the guys that are buying are getting the good stuff. The market is a buyer's market when property prices are relatively low and there are large numbers of homes for sale available to buyers, in our case, real estate investors. Real estate agents and experts generally use a six-month sale cycle. Okay, so they're looking at 6 months to determine whether a market is a seller's market or a buyer's market. So when enough investment properties in a certain market take more than 6 months to sell, then the market tends to be a buyer's market. Okay, do you get that? Another method to determine the state of the markets is by looking at the ratio of sales to property listings. A buyer's market is characterized by a ratio of fewer than 7 sales per every 20 listings, so that the percentage would be below 35%. Thus, we can conclude that the supply and demand are two major factors that determine a buyer's market, because supply and demand are always changing, and that is so true. A market may be a seller's market 1 month, and a couple months later, it's going to be a buyer's market. That can happen too. But because they're always changing, markets can transform from a buyer's market to a seller's market or vice versa very rapidly. So if you want to make money in real estate and buy an investment property at a good price, then you should definitely do so in a buyer's market. So let's look at some key factors that determine if it's a buyer's or a seller's market. The first thing we take a look at would be inventory. Inventory is one indicator of whether or not a market is a seller's market or a buyer's market. The U.S. housing market has had 1.23 million property listings as of January 2018. This is 8% lower than last year, so 2017. Because fewer investment properties are available on the market, a real estate investor selling an investment property has more negotiating power than one buying an investment property. And so that's why we call it currently a seller's market, because of the national changes there that are affecting that. Look at the days on the market. Let's take a look at the amount of days a property stays on the market shows a high demand for housing. In the U.S. housing market as of January 2018, the average days that a property is on the market is 89 days. Well, this is 7% lower than that of 2017. The decrease in the number of days a property is on the market shows a high demand for housing and rental properties. Okay, so again, another indicator of a seller's market. And then we look at median property price. Lastly, the median property price is another indicator of whether a market is a buyer's market or not. In January 2018, the national median house price was $269,500, 8% higher than that of 2017. So that shows price is increasing, which meant demand is increasing, right? The increase in median home price can be contributed to two factors. A stronger demand for housing, given that properties stay on the market for a shorter period of time this year as compared to last year, and a shortage of homes available. Okay, so there's, you know, it's a seller's market, right? There's not as many homes to choose from. Prices are going up, so the seller has the advantage. These numbers all point to a seller's market for the U.S. housing market as a whole, and that's why they're calling this a seller's market. Real estate investors selling investment properties are at an advantage. And there are many investors right now that are taking this opportunity while we're sort of at the top of the bubble here, or at least approaching the top, to sell while you can. And also so that buyers can take advantage of the low interest rates. So you can sell things fairly quickly in this type of a market, because there's short inventory, rising median house prices, and fewer days on the market. Those are the key indicators there. So if that's a national situation, how is someone supposed to find a buyer's market? Well, first we got to look again at the factors that would make up a buyer's market. And here's three key factors you need to consider when searching for a buyer's market. And this will also help you find buyer's markets, right? Okay, number one is seasonality. Because the real estate market goes up and down depending on the season, picking the right season can save you a lot of money. Usually there are a lot more homes for sale in the summer months of June through August than any other time. That being said, the market is typically a seller's market in the winter, but a buyer's market in the summer. So if you're looking to buy an investment property, do so in the summer. That's going to give you an advantage. Of course, this can differ from one real estate market to another. The second thing is job growth and growing industries. An area with lots of jobs available and growing industries will often be a seller's market. The more jobs, the higher the demand for real estate, thus the higher the selling power. And then the third thing is inventory. Another important factor to search for is inventory. If inventory is low, then the market is most likely a seller's market. Try to look for a location where inventory is high, or at least higher than the national average. The more homes for sale, the stronger the purchasing power of home buyers or real estate investors. While these factors help you determine if a market is a buyer's market, you also should consider and exhaust all factors that could contribute to a market being a buyer's market. These include mortgage and interest rates, construction efforts, and price to rent ratio. Okay, so those are all factors that you need to take a look at if you're really trying to assess that buyer's market. Now, what is interesting too is that there's a lot of statistics and information out there, and a good place to find data. I mean, there's a ton of things on the internet and markets you can go to, but a lot of the main real estate portals like Realtor.com and Trulio and Zillow, they do surveys all the time based on the stats that they have, because they're listing houses and they see the activity going on with houses. They draw a lot of stuff from the MLS as well. So I'm going to give you the first part of this, and this is based on, okay, some of the declining home prices. Okay, so this was a Realtor.com survey that was conducted, and it has those markets where you have declining home prices. Okay, so with this, they came up with the various areas where you are seeing good opportunities. So if prices are going down, so if you see the prices going down, that means demand is going down and it's becoming a buyer's market. So here are some of the top areas, you know, based on the percentage of decrease in home prices. Even as home prices continue to rise across the country, they aren't soaring everywhere, according to this recent study by Realtor.com, which found 10 metros where home prices have actually seen a major decline. Of the 350 metros that Realtor.com studied, it found that prices were actually falling in 27 different markets, and in each case, the decline was led by reasons such as overbuilding in a boom market, mass layoffs or a company closing amid oil-related downturns or spate of national disasters. So for the study, the team at Realtor.com compared 12-month periods from May 2016 through April 2017, and they compared that to May 2017 through April 2018 before ranking the metros, and where they saw the biggest declines, and they ranked them. So I'm going to start with the biggest down to the smallest in this top 10 list. Number one area was Santa Maria, Santa Barbara, California. Yeah, that's an area that many people know as an area that has some pretty high home prices. There were also a series of natural disasters, fires, and then when the rains came, floods. Just a lot of homes were destroyed, and a lot of home prices dropped. In fact, the drop was 11.7% between those two periods that they measured. And today, the median home price in this area is $951,000, as home prices are being marked down from their previous highs. Okay, so that's down. Now you can imagine, you know, it was over $1 million on an average in that same area. Another area, Pottsville, Pennsylvania, with a price drop of 8.1% and median home list prices of $72,300. So these are a little bit more affordable for the average investor, right? In Pennsylvania, it was second on the list, and it was led mainly by unemployment rates and buyer interest in new construction, which is hard to come by in a city that mostly has older Victorian residences available for sale. The third, another California city, Napa, California, known for its wine. Wine country in California may not be associated with price declines, but again, they got hit really hard by the wildfires of 2017 that destroyed much of Napa. And that means that this city, which ranks third, okay, it saw home prices declining, with a median home list price of $823,000 and a 6.7% fall in home prices, means that they were once luxury homes selling for between $1.5 million and $2.5 million are now being sold at discounted rates. Okay, the third one, which is also just an area for investors, has been a really good area, is Austin, Texas. Now, Austin had a price drop of 4.3% and a median home list price of $373,000. It was fourth on this list, and thanks to a surplus of housing that was built over the past few years. The next in line is Beckley, West Virginia, rounded off the top five with the median home price of $134,000 and a price drop of 4.2%. Others, I'll just list them real quick and their percentage decrease. College Station, Texas at a 3.6% drop. Corpus Christi, Texas at 3.1% drop. Anchorage, Alaska at a 3% drop. Houma, Louisiana, 2.7% drop. And Bismarck, North Dakota, 1.8% drop. So you can see from these top 10, you can look at declining prices as a good indicator of a buyer's market. In another Realtor.com survey, they looked at cities where home buyers' credit scores were exceptionally low as another indicator of a buyer's market. Okay, so these are areas where people are buying homes, but they are allowing a lower than usual FICO score to get these homes. So there are indicators in those markets that would show that unless they do this, they're not going to sell any homes, right? So Realtor.com researchers calculated the share of mortgages in the largest 200 metros obtained with a 649 FICO score or lower. Now you see some mortgages, in order to qualify them, you need at least 650. Most are looking for 7 and above. Now, it's one thing for a lender to lower standards for things like car loans or even 0% credit cards, but for mortgage lenders to lower their standards, there must be something in that market that's pretty desperate or pretty serious that they have to do that in order to sell homes. So here are 10 different cities, okay, so this is our second 10 here, where mortgage lenders' standards were lowered so that local residents can buy houses. And of course, so that the lenders can sell mortgages, right? Okay, so the share of mortgages was calculated over a 12-month period from July 2017 through June 2018. And they ranked listings, by metro from the largest to the smallest. So the first one was Charleston, West Virginia. Median home prices of $147,300, okay? And the share of borrowers with a 649 FICO score or lower were 39.1%. Nearly half of those buying homes had low FICO scores, which is pretty interesting. Now, the state of West Virginia, it's a college town. The city's overall population is aging. There's been a big decline in chemical industry or coal jobs, and that's caused many folks to put their homes on the market. This has opened the door for first-time buyers seeking move-in ready three-bedroom homes near downtown. And these single-family homes start around $130,000, but can be found for even less. They have a buyer's market and many motivated sellers. The affordable prices have led to an increase in young buyers ranging in range from 22 to 35. Those are millennials who aren't buying homes in many other markets because of soaring student loans and early paychecks and really no credit history for the most part. So they're taking advantage of these lower credit scores here to get USDA and FHA loan programs whose lower standards and low down payments require less from the borrowers than in other types of conventional loans. Second one, Clarksville, Tennessee, an area I think is really promising and has a lot going on. But the median home price there is $209,950. 35% of the borrowers have FICO scores under 649. So again, a huge, over one third of the borrowers there. And this is a quiet little town on the border of Kentucky, best known as a home to U.S. Army base Fort Campbell. It's just 45 minutes away from Nashville, one of the hottest selling markets in the country. So it makes sense that many folks are becoming homeowners here with the help of VA loans, Veteran Affairs loans, which require a minimum credit score of just 620. And you could get entry-level three-bedroom vinyl-sided ranch homes in suburban areas for anywhere from $100,000 to $130,000. So it's a fraction of the national median home price, which is $300,000. And then you've got places like Corpus Christi, Tennessee, median home price $239,750. And they've got 35% of their folks under 649 FICO scores. And Lakeland, Florida, okay, $229,500 average home price. And 30.4% with 649 FICO scores and below. And then the fifth one, Augusta, Georgia. Okay, $218,000 and six, again, 26.5% with lower FICO scores. To round out the list here, I'll just give the names of the cities and their percentage here. Evansville, Indiana. See a lot of stuff for sale in Evansville, 26.3%. Number seven, Tuscaloosa, Alabama at 25.2%. Number eight, Rockford, Illinois at 25%. Youngstown, Ohio, 24.9%, and Kalamazoo, Michigan at 24.4%. So as a savvy real estate investor, distinguishing between a seller's market from a buyer's market is key if you want to find good deals. And there are buyer's markets out there. I've just done 10, but you can do your own research and you can use some of the factors that we've given you to determine some of these areas where you might be able to find some good deals on real estate, both single family as well as multifamily. A market with low inventory and demand exceeding supply makes for a great market for sellers, right? While a buyer's market with high inventory and supply exceeding demand is ideal for real estate investors looking for good deals. So make sure to exhaust all factors that contribute to the market being a buyer's market before you consider real estate investing. There are some great opportunities still out there, but you got to dig a little deeper. And I think you'll find some good deals and you'll be able to help grow your real estate portfolio. Well, that's it for today. Please note, old dog listeners, these lists that I've given you, links to a lot of this information as well, will be in our show notes in the Old Dogs website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And you're going to look for the episode on finding buyer's markets in seller's markets. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger, because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.